welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible, the book of books, the scriptures, is the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Dear friend, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 teaches that the Bible is inspired of God, God-breathed, therefore infallible, inerrant. It is authoritative and all-sufficient, written by over 40 men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They lived and wrote in a variety of places, using different languages, were of different occupations. They possessed different levels of learning, and they wrote over a period of some 1,500 or more years. One indisputable evidence of the divine guidance of the Bible is its unity. Composed of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament, it is yet but one book, with one theme, God's plan for redeeming man, one purpose, the salvation of man from sin, and one central personality, Jesus the Christ. Without contradictions within, it is perfectly fitted together, the result of miraculous oversight by deity in its composition. Man needs salvation from sin and the knowledge of how to live. This he can have by coming to Christ through faith, repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ. But he first must know what to believe, Romans 10 and verse 13 forward. This calls for study, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And this is a duty that's too often neglected and given secondary importance. Knowledge of the Bible is essential to know how to live. It is not in man to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Scripture provides information as to the purpose and the meaning and the significance of life. It answers the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Without this knowledge, he cannot make proper decisions in life, nor discern good from evil, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. To what other source can man turn with confidence to solve the problems that he faces? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father, Matthew 4 and verse 4. This word is a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path, Psalm 119, verse 105. Without the Bible we cannot know what is true and everlasting, what has real value, and therefore will not know how to set our priorities in life. From the Bible we learn how to rear our children. We learn how to live alongside others. We learn how to be useful in life. And more important, we learn how to have an eternal life in heaven with God and the redeemed, John 5 and verse 39. Now in this lesson, we shall show this unity of the Bible as one story from start to finish. We shall try to get a panoramic view of its message, presenting the relationship of one part to all the other parts, focusing attention on Bible study and Bible knowledge and Bible application in life. We want to be motivated to learn and to tell the old, old story. Genesis informs us of the origin of all things, including the world, including mankind, everything God created by the power of His Word. The first man and woman were Adam and Eve. From them have come all people. And we read of them in the Garden of Eden, a paradise, before the intrusion of sin that resulted from submission to satanic temptation. They were driven because of their sin from the garden. Their first two sons, Cain and Abel, are examples of worshipers. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, doing as God said. Cain went his own way. Jealousy by Cain provoked him to commit the first murder when he killed Abel. The descendants of the first pair were both good and evil. We read of patriarchs like Enoch, who walked with God, and Methuselah, who lived 969 years. But as generations followed, the world grew worse and worse, more and more sinful, until God repented he had made man and determined to cleanse the world of wickedness. Hence the flood came in the time of Noah, and the preservation of the race by the ark. And after the flood, the earth was repopulated, and men once again turned from God, building from themselves a tower to serve as a monument to themselves and to prevent their dispersion. It was left unfinished, however, when God confused their tongues. That tower is called the Tower of Babel. God called Abraham to leave the Ur of Chaldees and go as God directed him. And this is a milestone in Revelation. God gave Abraham great promises, such as he would be the father of a great nation, his descendants numberless like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. God would bless those that blessed him and curse those that cursed him. His people would have a land of their own. And the greatest promise that was, through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And Paul tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 16, this referred to Jesus Christ. Now at the time the promises were given, Abraham was old and without children. Nonetheless, each of these promises came to pass, and the story of the Bible from that time forward is the record of God keeping the promises that he made to Abraham. Abraham went to Canaan with Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew. We read of his prosperity and his sojourns into Egypt. We read about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the rescue of Lot, the episode with Hagar and Ishmael, but eventually the birth of the promised son named Isaac. And following Isaac, there came Jacob, the father of 12 sons, and these 12 sons became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. The most interesting record is given regarding one son, Joseph, who was sold into slavery, and about his life in Egypt at Potiphar's house, and when he was in prison, and finally before Pharaoh, to whom he interpreted dreams that foretold of coming years of plenty to be followed by famine. And Joseph eventually was elevated to second in rank throughout all Egypt. And during the famine, Jacob's other sons came to Egypt to buy grain. They had to make their purchase from Joseph, whom they thought was dead. But in time, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and all of Jacob's family moved into Egypt, into the land of Goshen. And there they grew into a nation, only to later be enslaved when a different Pharaoh became fearful of them. When Israel was suffering in bondage and every effort was made to exterminate them, Moses was born. Moses was reared in the palace of Pharaoh, however, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he lived there his first 40 years. At his effort to deliver an Israelite from an Egyptian taskmaster by killing him, Moses was forced to flee Egypt and to spend his second 40 years tending the flocks of Jethro, who had become his father-in-law. And a third 40-year period of Moses' life began with God calling him from the burning bush to lead Israel into deliverance and to the land of Canaan, the land of promise. The reluctant Moses accepted the task. He returned to Egypt. He demanded Pharaoh to free Israel. But it was not until the accomplishment of the 10 plagues that Israel was allowed to leave. Israel was spared destruction from Pharaoh's effort to recapture Israel by passing through the Red Sea on dry land. Moses led Israel to Mount Sinai, where God gave Israel the law that was to govern that nation until the coming of the seed of Abraham, which is Jesus Christ. For 40 years Moses led Israel, listening to the constant complaints and murmurings of the Israelites until they reached the eastern banks of the Jordan River. There Moses relinquished the leadership to Joshua and died in Mount Nebo or Mount Pisgah. Through the 40 years of wandering by Israel in the wilderness, God provided them water and manna to eat, guiding them by day with the cloud and the pillar of fire by night. The books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers and Deuteronomy reveal the contents of the law that God gave Israel through Moses that governed every facet of their lives. The law of Moses was for Israel alone, never a universal law from God for all people. Just precisely what was the relationship of God and the rest of the people of the world during this Mosaic age is not altogether revealed. The story of the Bible is the story of God's plan for saving man and the Savior who was to come through Israel. And this explains the inclusion of God's dealings with Israel, as well as the limited information regarding God's relationship with the other peoples of the world. Israel was the chosen nation, the descendants of Abraham, the people through whom Christ was to come into the world. In the book of Joshua, we began reading the history of Israel in taking the land of Canaan, the cities of Jericho and Ai, city after city, area after area. The land was then divided among the tribes. Great stories and lessons from these accounts are found concerning such people as Joshua and Rahab and Achan and so many, many others. And after the conquering of the land and after the death of Joshua, God ruled Israel with the loosely organized system of judges for some 300 to 450 years. It was an age of cycles that would begin with prosperity, but the people would digress into sin and would suffer at the hands of enemies that were sent to punish them. They would repent, and God would raise a deliverer called a judge. And there would be deliverance from their enemies, and prosperity, and return to serving God, only to see the cycle repeated time and time again. The account of 15 judges are given in the book of Judges and in 1 Samuel. We read of people like Deborah and Barak, and Gideon, and Jephthah, and Samson, and the last and possibly the greatest judge of all, Samuel. And the book of Ruth relates events that occurred during the period of the judges. 1 Samuel relates the work of the last judge and the first king of Israel. Weary of God's ways and desiring to be like nations around them, Israel requested that God allow them to have a king. And Saul reigned for 40 years, followed by David for another 40, and then Solomon for a third 40-year period, when Israel was a united kingdom. It was a time of growth and power and wealth and prestige, the taking of territory, and many victories over their enemies. And this was due largely to the reign of David. After Solomon, the nation suffered a division into two nations, the 10 tribes of the north calling themselves Israel, and the 2 tribes of the south known as the nation of Judah. And the descendants of David continued to reign over Judah. For about 2.5 centuries, these 2 nations existed side by side, sometimes as enemies, sometimes as allies, sometimes rather indifferent to each other. Not one of the 19 kings of northern Israel are commended as being righteous, and only few, about 6, some say maybe 8, of the kings of Judah receive special commendation because of their goodness. Eventually, northern Israel was invaded and conquered by Assyria and taken into a captivity from which they never returned as a nation. And about 135 years later, Babylon overthrew Judah, taking them into captivity, from which they returned some 70 years later. The return was accomplished in 3 stages. Under Zerubbabel, the temple was rebuilt. Under Ezra, there was a great religious revival. And under Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem were re-erected. The book of Esther tells of the providential care and preservation of Israel when in captivity and under threat from Persian plots to destroy the Jews. During the history of Judah and northern Israel, and the time of Judah's return from captivity, We read of the great work of the prophets, who preached, who warned, who prophesied, who condemned the sins of the people, who would call for repentance that did not come until destruction overtook the people. Many of the prophecies foretold the coming of the kingdom of God, which is the establishment of the spiritual kingdom, the Lord's church, foretelling even the career of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the assured fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. And the Old Testament closes with a prophecy in Malachi of one who would come and do a great work, the very work that was done some 400 years later by John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And even though there was no writing from God for the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, God, through such prophets as Daniel, predicted events that would pertain to Israel during these centuries. And as these events transpired, the time of the coming of the Messiah was drawing nigh, and the New Testament continues unfolding of God's plan for the redemption of man. And we shall discuss the New Testament in a later lesson. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.